On Radio Jackie today, I'm talking to Chloe MacArthur, who is a senior cardiac nurse at the British Heart Foundation. New figures have been released by the British Heart Foundation saying that people in the UK severely underestimate the scale and seriousness of heart circulatory diseases. Now, it's estimated that around half of people will suffer with heart problems in their lifetime. Is that a high number? And if so, what causes this?
Yeah, so it is quite a high number. There's about 7.6 million people in the UK overall living with a heart circulatory condition, and it's still the biggest killer in the UK. I mean, as to what causes this, there's so many reasons. It can come down to things like lifestyle, you know, our diet and our exercise, but it can also be down to things like our family history and things we cannot change, our ethnic background and things like that. It can also be things like congenital problems. We could be born with the condition, but it might not make itself known until years after we're born, or perhaps an inherited condition where there's a faulty gene and it won't be made apparent until someone sadly has a cardiac arrest, which is, of course, the worst case scenario. So that's why it's so important to get better at detecting and testing for these conditions with research, so that we can continue to save and improve lives.
And why do you think so many people are unaware of these figures and think that heart disease probably won't affect them?
It's probably a couple of things. Probably one is that our heart's a little bit invisible. It does its job, you know, every day, beating thousands of times a day, and we don't really notice it until something doesn't feel right and we start to feel unwell. And then you suddenly get worried about your heart. It's also possible that because we've become so good at treating heart conditions over the decades, for instance, in the 60s, 7 out of 10 heart attacks were fatal, whereas today, 7 out of 10 heart attacks survive. That may make people feel like we've fixed heart disease. We've ticked that one off. But the truth is, it is still the biggest killer in the UK. And that's why we're trying to raise the profile of these conditions again with our Spotlight On campaign, so that can people be more aware and that we can fund more research into diagnosing and testing and treating these conditions.
So you've just mentioned the new campaign, Spotlight On. Do you want to tell us a bit more about it? What is it?
So the Spotlight On campaign is to raise the profile of these conditions, simply put, so people can be more aware of the signs and symptoms and what they can do about it, what they can do to manage their risk factors. What we're also doing is to raise the importance of research and how important it is to get better at diagnosing and testing and treating these conditions by learning more about them. And research is the only way we can achieve that, really. So it's so important that we continue to fund this groundbreaking work so that we can improve the lives of those with heart and circulatory conditions.
Absolutely. So you mentioned a second ago that 7 out of 10 people now survive. What's happened within medicine for this to have changed from, was it the 60s you said?
Yeah, that particular, so that was from the sort of the 60s. Science, again, it all comes back down to research. It's and playing around with how we can treat these people better. For example, stents coming into play, being better at bypass surgery, getting better at screening for congenital conditions, advances in medications, learning about lifestyle. It all starts with research, and that's why it's so important that we continue to fund it, because without those advances, we might slip back. So it's so important that we continue to keep pushing forward, learning more all the time, because there's always going to be something to learn, something to develop with research.
Now, I know you've touched on this already, but I'm going to ask you again anyway. Who does heart disease affect? Is it more of a genetic disease, or can it affect anyone?
It can affect any of us, any age, any sex, anyone. And that's why it's so important. I think there's maybe a little bit of misconception that it's, you know, it's a man's disease, or you only get it when you get old. And that just isn't the case. Our risk increases as we age, but it certainly doesn't keep us, you know, to lower our risk as we're younger or from a certain background. Any of us could be affected by this. And that's one of the things that, you know, we want to make sure people that realise with this campaign, is that we all need to know about our risk and how to reduce it.
And how do people know what their risk is? You know, what are the signs for people to look out for? How do they know if they potentially have a heart condition? Or is it, as you said earlier, people only find out when it's almost too late and they might have a cardiac arrest?
Yeah. Oh, sadly, that will be how some people find out, unfortunately. But again, hopefully that will only get better with more research. But for most of us, you know, knowing our numbers is really important. Blood pressure, heart rate, cholesterol, as well as knowing things like our family history, what's happened in the past before we even got here, because that's really important to pair alongside with a healthy, balanced lifestyle that's active, knowing where you come from and your risk there so that you can continue to reduce it.
And is there anything in particular that causes it? I know we've got genetics, but what about lifestyle? Are there things that people can avoid to stop their risk going up?
So, yeah, you've got your things like your genetics and your inheritance and structural conditions, which is congenital conditions. But when we're thinking about sort of acquired conditions, coronary heart disease is probably the most prevalent and the thing that people think of, I think, when they think of heart disease, because that's what causes most heart attacks. That's usually caused by a buildup of plaque in our arteries. And a big contributor to that is lifestyle. So watching cholesterol, when you're thinking about your diet, you want to keep a diet lower in saturated fat, keep active, stop smoking, some of that bread and butter stuff. They're the kind of lifestyle changes that people can be making to help reduce that risk.
And is there any difference between men and women? Are men more likely to suffer from a heart condition than women?
When we think about the sort of the umbrella term of heart conditions, no. We're all at risk, whether we're man, woman, it really doesn't matter. We've all got that risk. So that's, again, it comes back to that. Don't, if you're a woman, for example, don't be complacent because you think it's a man's disease, because it really, really isn't. Any of us, regardless of our gender, are at risk. That's one of the big misconceptions that we need to make sure that people start to let go of.
And for people who do have a heart condition, what does day-to-day life look like for them?
So luckily, like I say, we've got really good with treating heart conditions. So for most people, they are able to live with their condition and they're able to still continue doing the stuff that love. But unfortunately, some people won't be quite so lucky. And for example, if someone's had a heart attack and they're now living with heart failure as a result, that can be really tough for people. They might not be able to do the things they love. They might find everyday tasks quite difficult. And again, that comes back round to why it's so important to get better at treating these conditions, develop better medications, better treatments, better diagnostic tests, all starting with research, so that if someone is living with their heart condition or the consequences of a heart event like a heart attack, they've got the best chance of having the best quality of life as they age.
Now, obviously, a heart attack or cardiac arrest is life-threatening. Figures show that only 67% of people would call an ambulance if they thought themselves or someone else was having a heart attack. Why do you think that's quite low? Why do you think it's not 100%?
Probably because, well, there's a couple of things. Maybe because they don't want to be having a heart attack. So some people might sort of talk themselves out of it almost. It'll pass, it'll get better. Other people might mistake those symptoms for indigestion or sort of just like an injury or something. Other people might not want to put any more burden on the NHS. They don't want to go to A&E. Understandable, you don't want to go to hospital. But I cannot stress enough that if there is any thought in your mind that you might be having a heart attack, call 999. It's always going to be better to be safe than sorry. Other than miss something that actually we could have done something about, because we can treat heart attacks. It's so important that people get themselves to A&E. Don't worry about maybe getting it wrong. You know, that's fine. They'd much rather you went and checked. And don't worry about burden on the NHS. They've got systems in place to treat heart attacks. Please call 999 if you even suspect for a moment that you might be having one.
And what are the signs of a heart attack? Because I mean, even myself, I don't really know what to look out for. The only thing I can think of is it a pain in your left arm or something like that?
So that's one. So you've kind of got that classic heart attack appearance where it's, you know, a bit chest clutching, left arm, you know, this kind of thing you'll see in a soap opera. But actually, it's really important that people know that that isn't the only way a heart attack will look. That will be that way for some people, not everyone. Some people might get pain in their stomach, their back, their neck, their jaw. They may get very nauseous, very sweaty. They might become suddenly incredibly anxious. It's called a sense of impending doom. So it's really important that people know those other signs of a heart attack and don't just get hung up on the sort of classic chest pain or left arm. Those are the signs. If you are feeling anything like that, it's 999 as soon as possible. Every second counts when you're having a heart attack.
And what do you think can be done to educate people more? Is that why this campaign Spotlight On has been launched?
Yes, really. What we want to do is sort of highlight that profile of heart disease again. and remind people why it's so important to look after their hearts and why it's so important for us to continue pushing science forward with research to find best ways to diagnose, test and treat these conditions. We're all at risk. Around half of us in the UK could suffer one within our lifetime. It's so important that we don't forget how deadly these conditions can be, and that we continue to make strides with science and to look after our hearts. We've only got one, after all.
Well, exactly. We need to look after it. And final question, probably the question people want to know the most, what can be done to ensure you keep good heart health throughout life?
Firstly, sort of educating yourself a little bit, you know, what is your family history, knowing your numbers, your blood pressure, cholesterol, your heart rate, and then some of your bread and butter stuff, like keeping a healthy, balanced diet, low in saturated fats, and sort of keeping active as well, whether that's, you know, doing a 5K or just playing with your grandkids in the garden. It doesn't need to be anything too spectacular, so don't get put off exercise because of that. They're the most important things that we can do. I know I've mentioned some things that you can't change, like our family history, but that certainly doesn't mean to say that all the things that you can do aren't worth doing. They absolutely are, and they make a huge difference to your risk.